Matthew chapter 23 and verse 14 is the text that I want to leave with you today. The reason I want to leave this text with you is because it's missing from the modern Bibles. We're back again to our series, Look What's Missing. A lot of people don't know about the verses that are missing from modern versions of Scripture, but it's good to know, it's important to know. So this is one of the verses, another one of the verses that are missing from these translations. It's Matthew 23, verse 14. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. You sometimes hear people say, I don't go to church because of the hypocrites. You ever hear somebody say that to you? You invite them to church, and this is the first excuse, the first reason they come up with. There's hypocrites in the church. Well, of course there's hypocrites in the church, but there's hypocrites outside the church. There's hypocrites in the world out there. And sometimes the person, in fact, very often, the person who accuses the church of being full of hypocrites is a hypocrite themselves. There's a church in America that had the following sign. This church is not full of hypocrites. This church is not full of hypocrites. Do you get what they were trying to say? There's room for more. There's room for one more. The point they're trying to make, of course, was that, yes, there are hypocrites in the church. There's hypocrites in any church, but there's hypocrites out there as well. The reality is, of course, that there is hypocrisy in everyone on planet Earth. To a greater or lesser degree, there's hypocrisy in all of us. And that's all part of the fall. It's all part of our sinful nature. If we would only take the time to look at our own lives, we would certainly see areas of hypocrisy. The Lord Jesus, in Matthew chapter 23, he's speaking out against hypocrisy and he's speaking out against hypocrites. And we want to hear what the Lord has to say about hypocrites. We're not so much interested in people out there who talk about hypocrites and complain about hypocrites in the church. We're interested in what the Lord himself has to say about hypocrites. And we find what he has to say about hypocrites in Matthew 23. We could have read Matthew 16, verse 3. The Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, O ye hypocrites! O ye hypocrites! Very conveniently, those three words are also removed from the modern versions. You'll not find those words, just three words, O ye hypocrites, deleted. But let's think about what Jesus said about the hypocrites. This was the last public message of the Lord Jesus before he went to the cross. His last sermon, if you like, public sermon, before he went to Calvary. And I suppose that makes it appropriate for us to look at it today, because we're only 2 weeks away from Easter, the time when we remember the cross that Christ was nailed to. This is his last message. Sometimes I think to myself, what if today was to be your last message? What would you preach? If I, as a minister, knew that this Sunday, that today was my last Sunday, what would I preach about? It's a challenging thought. But this was the last message of the Lord Jesus, and it is stunning. What a stunning message. This is a scathing denunciation of false religion and hypocrisy. Talk about name calling. Jesus holds nothing back. Bold and courageous, he calls the scribes and Pharisees fools, snakes, vipers, blind guides, and seven different times he calls them hypocrites. You see, you need to understand what the word hypocrite in the Bible is actually referring to. It's referring to someone who worked in the entertainment industry. We would talk about actors today. Well, back in Bible times, they also had actors. People who acted in the theatre. And they obviously didn't have as much manpower as is around today in acting circles. And so there were only maybe a couple of people involved in the play or the performance. So because they couldn't have a lot of different people acting the different parts, they had lots of different masks. And these couple of people would use different masks and keep changing the masks, pretending to be different characters. That's where the word comes from. Someone who wears a mask. Hypocrite. The Lord Jesus he's speaking out, he's hitting out against these religious leaders who were wearing masks, if you like. And there are strong words, first of all, here against the hypocrites. You see, the Lord Jesus demands sincerity and reality. Honesty and humility. And he had strong words for the hypocrites in Matthew 23. And he also has strong words today for hypocrites, for those who wear a mask, those who deliberately pretend to be something that they're not. Notice what Jesus says. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. This is a curse. Jesus here pronounces a curse upon the scribes and Pharisees. I can just hear people say, come on, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, pronouncing curses. You got that wrong. The impression I have of Jesus is that he wouldn't say boo to a goose. Wouldn't hurt a fly. Oh, Jesus is all sweetness and light. If that's the Jesus you believe in, it's an idol. It's a figment of your imagination. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Oh yes, the Jesus of the Bible was gentle, meek and mild. Read Mark chapter 10. Suffer the little children to come unto me. He takes them up in his arms. He blesses them. Yes. But there were other times when he was anything but gentle, anything but meek and mild. For example, when he on two occasions whipped the money changers out of the temple. Those who were polluting the house of God. There's a lot of that around today. God's house is being polluted with all manner of things. But here we have the Lord Jesus in Matthew 23. He's in the same kind of spirit. He's standing up against the hypocrites. He's not afraid to speak out against them. He's being firm when he needs to be. It's important for those of us who are Christians to get the balance right. Yes, there are times when we need to be like the lovely Lord Jesus and we need to be so tender and so gracious and so sensitive to those who are hurting. And if you're hurting today, if you're going through the mill, I want to tell you, you've got a Savior, or I hope you've got a Savior, I hope you're saved. You've got a Savior who sympathizes with your situation. But we have also got to be like the Lord Jesus in his ability to be firm and stern when necessary. We cannot be always jelly. You can't always be sweetness and light. There's times when you've got to have backbone. You've got to stand up for the Lord, stand up for what's right, stand up and speak out. Speak out against hypocrites, yes, but be careful, because you know the old saying, when you point the finger at somebody else, how many are pointing back at you? But there is the need to be firm and to be balanced. So Jesus, he uses these strong words against the hypocrites. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He speaks against these religious leaders. Now, Jesus wanted them to be saved. He loved these leaders even as he spoke to them. He desired that they would turn to him and be humble and be honest and say, Lord, it's all a sham. Forgive me. I want to be genuine. I want to be really saved and born again. Lord Jesus wanted these men to become one of his children. But yet he speaks these strong words. Do you know, whenever I think of these hypocrites, these scribes and Pharisees, I think about the religious leaders of today. Boy, we would need the Savior back to hit out against the religious leaders of today. Did you hear Archbishop Welby last week praising Stephen Hawking, the atheist? Listen to the Archbishop's words. Professor Stephen Hawking's contribution to science was as limitless as the universe he devoted his life to understanding. His was a life lived with bravery and passion. As we pray for all those who mourn him, may he rest in peace. Well, right away, they're RIP. You would almost think that Archbishop Welby was in the Roman Catholic Church, because that's where the RIP, the rest in peace, comes from. But apart from that, he praises an atheist. I mean, has the Archbishop not read his Bible? Does he never read the book of Genesis? Praising an atheist. Some religious leader. No wonder the country's in the state it's in when the top religious man speaks like that. I mean, how did we ever get to the place where the Archbishop of Canterbury praises an atheist? We have got to a very, very low state. Our spiritual condition in Britain is atrocious. Religious leaders who profess to read the Bible and believe the Bible, but yet they don't preach it. They don't practice it. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were kind of the guardians, you would say, for the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. And they should have been reading it and teaching it to the people and standing for the Bible, but they weren't. And they're just a mirror image of the religious leaders of today. I want to say that we should sympathize with Professor Hawking's family, and our hearts do go out to them, to his sons and daughters. And we certainly have great sympathy for him in the fact that he suffered for years with motor neurone disease, an awful disease. But we cannot praise his beliefs. We cannot say he was a great man because he denied God and he denied creation. And he led countless souls astray. Strong words against the hypocrites. Then the Lord Jesus, you notice, speaks of the sinful ways of the hypocrites. The sinful ways of the hypocrites. For ye devour widows' houses. Oh, he was striking at the root now. Ye devour widows' houses. You see, you scribes and Pharisees, outwardly you want to present yourselves and you like to present yourselves as being so holy and so spiritual and so helpful and so compassionate, but actually you're just trying to worm your way into these widows' houses and befriend these widows so that you can steal their houses and steal their property from them. You're just full of greed. You want money, you love money, and money is your God. You're devouring widows' houses. Do you know, whenever I think of this statement, I think of Charles Chinnicky. Wonder if you ever read of Father Charles Chinnicky. He wrote two fantastic books. If you can get your hands on them, do. Either the hard copy, or you can get so much on the internet and Kindle and all these apps that are about today. But Charles Chinnicky, he wrote two books, 50 Years in the Church of Rome, 40 Years in the Church of Christ. Charles Chinnicky was from Canada. He was brought up in a Roman Catholic home The strange thing is that in spite of his Roman Catholic upbringing, his parents read the Bible to him. You don't find that in too many Roman Catholic homes. But the Bible was actually read. But he was brought up in the Roman Catholic Church, and he eventually became a priest and spent 25 years as a priest. Then one day, one of his superiors came to him and he said, "Charles, you're going to have to give up the Bible. You've got to just give blind obedience to the church." Father Chinnigy wasn't prepared to do that. And he had a night of struggle. The church of the Bible. And in the morning the struggle was over. And he had turned to Christ. He was saved. He was born again. And he decided against the church and decided for the Bible. You know, Charles Chinnigy was a great friend of Abraham Lincoln. You know, the American president. On one occasion, Lincoln defended Chinnigy against accusations from the Roman Catholic superiors in the church. They accused Father Chinnigy of awful things that he had never done. But Abraham Lincoln was a young lawyer and he stepped in to defend Father Chinnigy from this slander and these accusations. And the two of them became close friends. Abraham Lincoln didn't charge Charles a penny for his services, by the way. And you can read how Charles Chinnigy wrote that he believed that the Jesuits murdered Lincoln. But Charles Chinnigy was saved by God's grace. And he actually took most of the parish with him. Most of the parish were saved as well. And the Lord changed him and changed his people. But why am I talking about Charles Chinnigy today? Because when he was young, he lost his father. His father died while he was just a child. And just a couple of days after the funeral, the local priest came to the house. And he started to speak to the mother, Mrs. Chinnigy. And he said, "Now, madam, you do realize that there are masses that have to be paid for. We've got to offer these masses for the repose of your husband's soul. And these masses will have to be paid for. Can you pay for them?" The only thing they really had in their possession was a cow. The family cow. Do you know what the priest did? You've guessed it. He took the cow. Left that family. Remember I said just a couple of days after the funeral of the father in the home. And there you have the Roman Catholic Church in its true colours. The priests of Rome. Wouldn't you agree that the Lord Jesus was looking down the centuries of time to the 1800s, to that little home in Canada, that little home where the father had passed away and the mother's brokenhearted and the little children are there and really all they have to survive on is the cow. But the priest comes, takes away the cow. Wouldn't you agree that Jesus was pointing to the Church of Rome when he said, "Ye devour widows' houses"? Wouldn't you agree, folks, that the Roman Catholic system is a system of hypocrisy? Of course, there's a lot of pulpits you wouldn't hear that in today. You get the sack straight away, P45 out the door. Pulpit would be vacant. My dear friends, how can we be faithful to the Lord Jesus without saying things like this? I don't know how you could be faithful to him and keep quiet. Some people today praise the Roman Catholic Church. Oh, the Roman Catholic Church has changed. I agree. Changed for the worse. Aye, they've changed for the worse. They're worse than ever. Charles Chinnigy loved Catholics. You see, whenever you have been one yourself, then you do have empathy with those who are still in the system. I mean, it's the same for any sin or any bondage. When you've been there yourself, you know what it's like. You want the people who are enslaved in that same iniquity to be freed. He longed that his Roman Catholic countrymen and women would be saved. He had a heart for them. We have got to be the same today. Got to love our Protestant people. Got to love our Catholic neighbours. Do all we can, because you know, folks, the Lord doesn't see Protestants or Catholics. He just sees souls for whom the blood of his precious Son was shed. Oh, the sinful ways of hypocrites. Is it any wonder the Lord Jesus got righteously angry with these scribes and Pharisees, and righteously angry, no doubt, he has been down through the years with the Church of Rome and with other false systems. He speaks not only about these hypocrites devouring widows' houses, but he says, for a pretense, make long prayer. You know, some of the Pharisees would go into the widows' homes, be all pious and sanctimonious. They would pray for 3 hours. All I can say is the poor widows. Imagine having to listen to a prayer for 3 hours. Mind you, there's some people in prayer meetings in Ulster today that could nearly reach the 3 hour mark and put everybody to sleep. Long prayer. There's nothing wrong with praying a long prayer at home. Pray for as long as you like. Pray for 3 hours, pray for 6 hours, pray for 10 hours if you like at home. But don't do it in the church. The thing about it is, in the church prayer meeting, you've got to have a variety of voices. If you have the one person and they're praying and they're praying and they're praying, it's monotonous. You fall asleep. But if you got one person who prays a short prayer, somebody else comes in, they pray for somebody else, and there's variety, then it keeps life in the meeting. But one of the marks of a hypocrite is somebody who prays long prayers. And Jesus had no time for long prayers. Proverbs 10 verse 19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Strong words against hypocrites, sinful ways of hypocrites. Let me finish. There's a stern warning to hypocrites. A stern warning to hypocrites. The Lord Jesus says, you see, you scribes and Pharisees who are unwilling to come to me to be forgiven, to be saved, I'm warning you. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. If you're not prepared to be humble and be honest and come to me for the cleansing of your sins, then I've nothing to offer you but damnation. And it's the same for everybody today, whether you're a hypocrite or not. If you're out of Christ and you refuse to come to him, nothing but damnation awaits you. You've chosen damnation. Everyone who rejects Jesus Christ chooses damnation. It's as simple as that. And at the end of the day, as old C.S. Lewis once said, God will give you what you ask for. He'll give you what you've chosen. He's a gentleman. The Lord's the perfect gentleman. He will allow you to have what you have chosen. And folks, if you choose hell, the Lord will give it to you. But we don't want anybody to do that. We don't want anybody to make such an idiotic choice. We want you to choose Christ and to choose heaven. This statement of the Lord Jesus, this warning of the Savior, reminds us that there are degrees of punishment in hell. Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall receive the greater damnation. Greater damnation. So Jesus was saying, there are people who won't be punished as severely in hell as you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're going to get the greater punishment because of your pretense and your facade, and because you would not come to me. All the evidence is there that I am the long promised Messiah, but you will have nothing to do with me. You despise me. You will receive the greater damnation. Is it any wonder, folks, that the devil has removed these words from modern versions? Because he doesn't want people to know about damnation. He doesn't want people to know about a future punishment. If the devil can keep hell quiet, he'll do it. Again, there's a lot of pulpits in Little Ulster today, and that word hell is never mentioned. never passes the preacher's lips. Oh, there's lots of talk about heaven. Oh, clergymen and women today love to talk about heaven, and everybody's going to heaven. I don't know what Bible they're reading, because everybody is not going to heaven. Yes, there are degrees of punishment in hell. There's also degrees of reward in heaven, of course. And we could go into that, but we don't have the time to do that. But it's clearly taught in Scripture. So folks, as we finish today, here we have the Lord Jesus. And he has these strong words against the hypocrites. And he speaks of the sinful ways of the hypocrites. And he gives a stern warning to the hypocrites. But you know why he does it. Because he wants them to be saved. You see, maybe you're asking today, can hypocrites be saved? Pharisees were saved in the Bible. You think of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. People would have said he's a hypocrite. But yet he was saved. Joseph of Arimathea was a Pharisee. People may have called Joseph a hypocrite. But he was saved. Paul the Apostle was also a Pharisee. But of course we know on the Damascus Road he was converted. He was saved too. The Lord Jesus, the risen Christ, met him and changed him. The Lord Jesus is able to meet you in church today, not physically, but in the Bible. As the Bible has been read and preached. And as you look for him in the Bible, he wants to meet you and he wants to save you. Because he wants another hypocrite, another actor, if you like, to be saved.